I think most faith groups would agree that some of our baseline beliefs are to think outside of self and to love others.
From Interfaith Alliance, this is The State of Belief. I'm Interfaith Alliance President Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch in New York City.
And libraries are one of the places where you actually get to practice that with a shared collection and a shared group of resources.
The assault on America's right to read continues to grow. That includes book bans and campaigns to defund libraries and education. And now a new wave of bills targeting libraries is threatening our democracy, according to the American Library Association. This important advocacy group has been around since 1876, but is working to address these dangers in 21st century ways. This week, ALA's new president, Sam Helmick, will be my guest on The State of Belief. We need these voices to be heard now more than ever. Make sure you subscribe, share, and rate The State of Belief at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Taking a minute to do these things really helps other people discover our show and become listeners too. Our library of past conversations includes 150 hopeful, empowering, and inspiring interviews with guests like Representative Jamie Raskin, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, Rabbi Jonah Pesner, Reverend Jim Wallace, and many others. You can help grow The State of Belief with a financial contribution right now. Find out how at stateofbelief.com, and you can support and join the work of Interfaith Alliance at interfaithalliance.org. Before we go into our interview, I just want to let you know about the journey that I am on as you are listening to this. It started on Tuesday. I went to Louisville to hear Sky Perryman. She is the president of Democracy Forward. She's been on this show, an incredible attorney. And she gave a talk at University of Louisville Law School, named after my great-grandfather, Louis Brandeis. I really think of her as the modern-day Brandeis, the people's attorney. And it's just been incredible to see that journey. From there, I went to Boise, Idaho for our conference, a summit on countering hate in the middle of Idaho. And you know, that is one of the places where, frankly, Christian militias and very, very right-wing Christian groups, such as Doug Wilson, whose, you know, followers are suggesting, you know, repealing the 19th Amendment. We were there with a group of incredible leaders, all coming together to really support one another and support the idea of a diverse democracy thriving in Idaho and across the country. From there, I went to Dallas, and I'm preaching at the incredible Cathedral of Hope in Dallas. And then we're about to start this conference on religious freedom in the public schools, with people across Texas and across the country. How do we stop Christian nationalism from taking over our public schools, which are meant to be for everyone, people of all faith traditions, including atheists, humans, everybody, and not letting one tradition take over and dominate our public schools. So I'm just giving you that as a flavor of the kinds of things that Interfaith Alliance is involved in, and we're so glad that you are a part of it as a listener of The State of Belief. And now to my guest. Sam Helmick is the newly inaugurated president of the American Library Association. Sam brings deep experience in advocating for intellectual freedom and access to information, with roles including ALA's executive board, past president of the Iowa Library Association, and chair of the Intellectual Freedom Roundtable and Iowa Governor's Commission on Libraries. Sam's presidential theme is, "Our stories are worth sharing." They bring a deeply informed moral and democratic perspective on our conversation today. And Sam, I'm very happy to welcome you to The State of Belief. Happy Library Card Sign Up Month.
Happy Library Card Sign Up Month. I'm so delighted to be with you.
We are thrilled. You know, this has been one of the most gratifying partnerships in my last 3 years, has been reaching out and being in conversation, in community, and in collaboration with the American Library Association. It's been such an important part of the work that I feel called to do at Interfaith Alliance, really showing up alongside and with libraries, librarians, all those who are interested in sharing stories. And so congratulations on being president. It's an amazing accomplishment. Did you just wake up one day when you were young and say, I want to be a librarian? How did you become a librarian?
Oh, my trajectory into libraries, I think, might be a little different. It's always a vulnerable process to tell it. But I was a little kid, and my mom would take us with our little red wagon, and we'd fill up books on the weekend and take them back on the next and fill it up. But when I became a teen, Paul, there wasn't a place in my small rural library for me. And I kind of got side-eyed when I would sneak up to the adult section because I was a precocious reader. And so by the time I'm going to community college, I don't think libraries are for me, and I'm not supporting the Levy initiative in my hometown to build a brand new library. I'm kind of ashamed to tell you that. Wow. And I even wrote a paper and mortified my English professor by saying, these are the reasons we don't need a new public library.
When you said libraries were not for me, can you just unpack that a little bit?
So when you're a teenager in like the late 90s in Burlington, Iowa, you don't have this wonderful library that they ended up building. You have like a couple shelves in a dank corner that has like R.L. Stein's Fear Street and maybe a couple of issues of Tiger Beat, because there aren't the resources available to make a teen advisory board where, you know, teenagers have input and fingerprints and breath into the programming that's happening, because you don't even have programming. That's what's really fascinating about small and rural libraries in America, is that it is a reflection of the resources that a community puts into it. As much as a reflection of the community it serves. Yeah. So I was a little shaded.
You didn't see yourself there. This is very foundational, isn't it?
Right.
Like, this is really foundational to what libraries mean and what libraries can mean. So you were kind of, let's call it, I'm going to put words in your mouth, which is terrible, a little anti-library, and especially for a precocious reader who's really looking for things to read. And you didn't think the library was the place for it. And so how did that turn around?
Right. So, we had some books in the family home. But even in the family home, I remember holding up paperbacks to Earth's Sun because we had redacted sentences and black ink. And so I exhausted that collection. I had exhausted the children's collection. I felt like there was not a significant place for me as a teen. And I probably horrify my English professor with this paper.
Yeah.
But I pass through, I get through community college. I'm at Iowa Wesleyan College, and they have you volunteer, call it responsible social involvement, before you graduate. And would you believe it, Paul, they had successfully balloted through a petition to get a levy bill, and they built this wonderful new library in Burlington, Iowa. And I decided to volunteer there.
Wow.
I fell in love because they had a dedicated place for teens. They had ebooks and audiobooks for when the library was closed. And I can even remember the moment. The Iowa State Extension Office through Iowa State University would bring an insect zoo to summer reading programs to the different libraries. And in rural America, often summer reading programs are the family vacation. Those are the edifying educational activities. We had hundreds of kids in there. And this year, because it was to catch a reading bug was the theme, they brought like an elaborate array, including a tarantula.
Ooh.
And this little kiddo came up to me and said, Sam, if you hold the tarantula, I'll pet him. And there's two problems with that I can think of like right off the bat. The first is...
just two?
Like, Paul, I don't do tarantulas, okay? Mm. I just don't. But the other thing is, technically, they're arachnids, so I felt like I had this kid on a technicality.
Mm. Oh.
But you know what I realized as well in that moment? I had a person of a completely different gender, race, age, social background coming to me, and we were both like with shaking hands going to have a transformative experience together. And it just dawned on me that there was nowhere else besides like an American library where that happens organically day after day, hour after hour. And I haven't shut up about the Good Library News since, because there are so many Sam Helmicks out there that don't see themselves in their library. But what's the power of libraries is that less than 20 years, you could actually be one of the representatives of that profession, because they're
Isn't
so powerful.
That amazing?
Yeah. I found my place. I found my community. Yeah.
And recognizing that libraries are not just a collection of books, but they are spaces. They are spaces. They are communal spaces. And it's an amazing resource. It is like one of these essential resources for American democracy. That is the reason, you know, that, of course, I feel so passionate about it, but also like one of the reasons that they are a location for a lot of people right now. So I want to get to that, but I want to just stay a little bit with this theme of our stories are worth sharing. So you came from this location where you're like, I don't see my story anywhere in here. I'm out. To this place where now you're the president of the American Library Association with the theme of our stories are worth sharing. And let me just tell you, as a minister and as someone who cares so much about stories and people understanding their own sacred story that brings them into communion with other people's sacred story, that theme really hits me square. Tell me about how you landed on that idea as a way to kind of frame your presidency.
Well, I think it's because the novelty of folks has never worn thin for me. I've been in libraries since 2008 now, and every single day somebody finds a recipe or a language or a job or community. And even talking to you about it, I start to tear up, and I think I'm in love with those stories. And I recognize that the approximate 124,903 types of libraries in America are chocked full of these stories. They're opportunity on cold storage, and our communities come in and breathe life into them. And it's just, it blows me away. And I want to know those stories. And I want to empower folks who are like Sam Helmick 20 years ago, that there are stories waiting for you to write at your library too.
Isn't that amazing? That is the other just incredible things about libraries. Listen, when you think about this moment and you think about like what it means to read something and see yourself somehow in there, or to be introduced to another life that you never even knew anything about. I mean, I remember when I first read, it was Another Country by James Baldwin, and I was a teenager. And first of all, there was a gay character in there, and there was a gay love story, a difficult, fraught one, but a gay love story. And alongside that, there was incredible writing about race in America that introduced me into an entirely different experience and opened my eyes in a way that I really needed to be opened and opened my heart and everything. And so, but then I also thought, okay, so my story is part of this story somehow. And I love that it's not passive. Like libraries are not a space just to receive these things. It's also where an invitation. We need to take a quick break, but up next, much more with Sam Helmick. You're listening to The State of Belief, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.